it struck me that we've talked many times about the mind of Christ is empty. Let's look at that real quick. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, or it means it's something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, it really says bondservant, and being made in the fashion in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. As we've talked 100 times, the word said no reputation, it's the word kino. And it means empty to the point of a vacuum. But I haven't made something clear, and that is the relationship of the Holy Spirit to this. If we just left it empty, then we'd be in a state of passivity. And passivity, let's look and see what passivity does. Let's go back to Luke. Luke 11. Matthew 12, starting in verse.
Luke, Matthew,
we're. I'm sorry. We're in Luke chapter 12, verse. Well, that's not right. Let's go to Matthew. I know it's there. Matthew 12. I'm sorry. Starting verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, and seeking rest, he findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first state. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked generation. Now, we've studied this a long time ago, but the state of passivity or the state of emptiness without it being filled with something else is the entrance for spirit, not good, bad spirit influence. I mean, we've talked talked many times about how the three ways in which you open yourself to unclean spirits is with illicit sex, drugs, and invitation. And so the idea of it's almost like in cultures around the world, I've told you about my experience in Philippines with there was massive demon possession. The same is true in places like Haiti, and even New Orleans, because they invite the spirits into them. And so when I've talked forever about the mind of Christ being empty, it's not empty in terms of what it's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the whole difference. And so that's why this whole deal about emptying isn't to leave yourself in a state of being where you're going to go sit in a corner and do nothing, because instead of your mind, it's the Holy Spirit that is now controlling you. And that is why this issue has to take place of the abandonment of self. The divorce from getting a total divorce from yourself with no visiting privileges. Now, excuse me. Let's look and see what we can grieve the Holy Spirit, we can resist the Holy Spirit, we can vex the Holy Spirit, and we can sin against the Holy Spirit. And so we'll study those in a minute, but let's see what the Holy Spirit does with regard to our being, if you will. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart or the inner man of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the thing about abandonment of self and the mind of Christ being empty, it's not empty from the standpoint of God, it's now full of this from the standpoint of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is your only guidance. And the guidance, in my experience, seemed like it's what the animal kingdom we call intuition, where, you know, we've talked many times about how a mockingbird flies all the way across the Gulf of Mexico so they reproduce, and how whales go 3,000 miles to reach the place where they were born. how the whole animal world lives by instinct. And so the idea of us being led of the Spirit instead of the mind, it opens up the Holy Spirit so that we too would have that instinct, where we no longer trust in our own arm of understanding in anything. And from my perspective, the way this has worked in me is that it's just it's things that would have never in the world have entered into my mind. And all I want to say is, it's fearful to say that I am emptying. But it's not fearful if you say you're emptying so the Holy Spirit can fill that vacuum. And it's the best picture that I have is the idea of a water pipe. And you need to have it totally clear so that it goes from the Father to Christ and Him and the Holy Spirit and then to you. And I don't believe that place of knowledge comes from anything that's in your physical mind. The only possibility is it's this pineal body, that mysterious gland that's in the middle of your brain that they used to think was a vestigial organ. But it's the word pineal means the face of God. And so the thing that I've neglected, and I just took it for granted that everybody knew, and then this morning it just, what? Nobody does know. I mean, we haven't talked about it enough. That when the mind of Christ is emptied, it's not emptied in terms of passivity. It's emptied so the Holy Spirit can fill it. And so you grieve the whole. Let's look at the grieving of the Holy Spirit. No, let's go to a couple other places.
Well, is repentance only kind of a simultaneous thing where you're divorcing yourself from you or surrendering?
Well, that's what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it comes, again, these things are, in our culture, it's in our learning, we think we know everything. But the whole idea, this is why in Acts, when they said, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit, they said, we don't even know of such baptism. Well, instantly, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit was their only guide, no longer their mind in anything.
Is there a great difference between repentance and prayer, or do they have similarities?
Well, they're not related. I mean, repentance is about you grieving the Holy Spirit.
Grieving.
And let's look at that. Go to Ephesians 40. Four.
This is about grieving the Holy Spirit.
Let's go to Ephesians 4.
That's the oddest statement I've ever heard.
You've never heard of grieving the Holy Spirit?
I've heard of grieving the Holy Spirit, but to say repentance is grieving the Holy Spirit.
No, I said lack of repentance is grieving the Holy Spirit.
I didn't hear that part.
I heard you say repentance. So
I didn't hear lack of repentance.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Ephesians. Chapter, I don't know yet. This is all of Ephesians. Let's start in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Ephesians 4, I'm sorry, 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. the cunning craftiness and sleight of men is your mind. That's what your mind does. Trying every way to keep you from the state of the mind of Christ. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this is talking about the work of a seder, or the work of a body. I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now that doesn't mean that you're doing out and becoming a whoremonger and a drug addict and everything. It just means you've gone back to using the mind.
You're talking about Gentiles here.
And that's what we are. As Son of Man, we're Gentiles. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be you angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, I believe that the Scriptures teach that you grieve the Holy Spirit when you go back to use the systems of the world instead of by faith. And we also, let's go to Acts 7. This is the whole of Acts 7 is about Stephen's defense of the gospel before the Sanhedrin, and then they're stoning him, and Paul being the prosecuting attorney. So let's start in verse 48. This is coming to the end of his defense. He said, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? So what is the place of my rest? Or what is the place of my rest? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart."
Verse 50, you didn't read verse 50.
"Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your father did, so do you." And we resist the Holy Spirit when we return to the way of the mind, when we turn to the way of the Gentile. Let's see what Isaiah says about it. Go to Isaiah 63. Verse 7. Well, let's start verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious and is in apparel, traveling in greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Now, that's obviously talking about Christ. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? His response was, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm or seed hath brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drink in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed upon them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he had redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy and fought against them. So they vexed the Holy Spirit, grieved the Holy Spirit, resist the Holy Spirit. Now I believe that's what we do when we return to the things of the world. The same thing the world does. Because we have left this incredible mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, and instead, and letting the Holy Spirit guide us in everything. Not our minds, not what we think about something, not what our senses tell us. Our minds are just as brute beasts. We think your mind, no matter what happens, we somehow believe that our mind is our friend. But in truth, it has never been your friend. It has always deceived you. It seems to be right for a while, and then pretty soon it just all goes to pot. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Well, wait a minute. Before that, let's go to Ephesians 1. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, above all right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the which is to come. He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. Now one more, Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that's what we should be doing, first in us and then in others. Every valley shall be exalted, every high mountain or high place and hill shall be made low, the crooked places be made straight, and the rough places plain or even. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work or results are before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, who hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. The point here being, when we use our mind, we are essentially saying to God that we know how to do something better than you. And it sounds natural. It sounds like you have to do it. And all the time that I've recently that I've been speaking about the mind of Christ, the emptiness, I didn't emphasize that that's filled with this Holy Spirit. And our guidance comes from a different venue, a different place. We are no longer of this world in any way. I pray that this gives you some understanding.
Said that to be filled with
holes. Oh, I know I have said, but I haven't emphasized it enough.
Yeah.
No, I have it emphasized it in connection with the emptying.
Yeah, you said you feel emotion for us.
But anyway, remember this, excuse my poor analogy, but this pipe or conduit, when Christ was resurrected, well, actually, after his baptism, then that conduit where he said, I do nothing of myself any longer. Now, and that conduit was a direct conduit to God. I only do what I see my Father doing. Now, the promise is, as he is in the world, so are we. And that is the promise. But we can no longer use the tools of the world system. We can't even use cause and effect. We can't even use prudence. We can't even believe one and one is two. It's because we're of a different nature, a different... And that mind of Christ creates the situation in which that direct conduit to the Father is yours by the Holy Spirit. But it will always, in its humility, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and in Jesus himself, their humility is their greatness. They won't occupy where you are. Anyway, the Holy Spirit, when he is come, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, not because of what they do, of sin because they believe not. And that word believe means total and 100% reliance on him. He'll convict the world of righteousness. Because he went to the Father. That's the only righteousness there is. And he convict the world of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. That's the only judgment there is. Now let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right. Anybody else?
I was thinking, I don't know why it came to my mind at the very end, that passage, I think it was John the Baptist, that he saw the Pharisees coming to the Baptist.
Who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God?
Yeah.
Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees.
We have to let that axe.
It already happened.
Right. I mean... But they were trying to get away from that, is what I'm saying.
No, they were all being baptized. They've been doing it for 400 years,
right.
But they've never, he made them go across the Jordan by their physicality to say they weren't, they had no righteousness and no reason that they couldn't enter the kingdom of God. That's the baptism of repentance.
Okay, repeat that.
They baptized in the Jordan,
uh-huh.
But John made them go to the other side of the Jordan, where is a river, which is now the country of Jordan. They left the promised land. They left the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
And by that act of physicality, they firmly believed that by birthright, they had access to the kingdom of God. This is why his baptism of repentance is so incredible. Just like right now, the hope of the whole world of believers that believe by accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, that's access to God. No. The baptism of repentance is total. When you're baptized, you are buried and your mind is buried.
And that's what we have to allow.
Right. We have no, well, we don't have to.
No,
we can be stupid and fools and live like the Gentiles do. last night I started. I woke up at 2:30, and it was just impressed on me to read what Jesus said to the church of Sardis. And we don't have time to do it today, but it was a description of us. Take it, big guy. Really, really big guy.